Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
On today's show, we'll recommend an EV for a family moving to Portugal who want an EV that looks like a normal car, a viewer deciding between an older Nissan Leaf and a high-mileage Honda Civic, and another viewer looking for an affordable used EV with Boku giddy-up. Welcome to Battery Bargains, a weekly series from the Batteries Included podcast, where we make EV recommendations to order. This is episode number 52. I'm Dominic Ioni, and I am joined today by Mr. Martin Lee from the EV News Daily podcast. If you're looking for that was lovely, Martin. If you're looking for your own bespoke battery bargains recommendation, send us a 1-minute video or a short email describing your use case and budget, and we'll see about featuring your case on an upcoming episode. All right, so let's kick this thing off with our first case for today. And to be transparent, we've paraphrased these emails a bit for length and clarity. So, ready to go shopping?
I am. I'm ready. I say I'm ready. I've totally forgotten to drag in the first person speaking. So whilst I'm saying
problem,
this,
because we get a letter from a reader who
brilliant. Carry on.
Named Ron. So he originally wrote us back in November, and now he writes back to say this: "Hey guys, just an update on my car search. I listened to your advice on the show and found a CPO 2022 with all the specs for a good price. Just got it yesterday and drove 300 plus miles home after picking it up. Had my first DC charging experience, and it was a good one. So looking forward to my EV adventure. Thanks for the help and love the show, Ron." So that's pretty awesome. And what did he get? See if I can bring this up. Friday show. And is it going to do this? What's it doing? Okay, that's the entire screen. Is this showing? No, it can't.
I can't see it yet.
Right, okay. So
What did he get? What did he buy?
He bought a BMW i4.
Oh.
And it looks like... And it's funny because we don't get a lot of those here, so it's kind of cool to see. And
wow.
That like that.
Very
and
nice.
And I can share it here up in a second. Just boom, boom, and then get back to the show. all this behind the scenes like button clicking and things that you can't really see what's going on, but anyway,
exactly,
that is the car right there.
Beautiful. Oh, well done, my friend. That is lovely. Yeah, that, yeah, you've done well. That could be worse.
Yeah, he's got,
yeah, you've done well
here. It's, yeah, here's a profile of it. Yeah, looks fine. Like BMW i4, this is kind of like a really I would say it shops against the Tesla Model 3 quite well. Mm. On paper, the Model 3 kind of wipes the floor with it, in my opinion, but the driving experience is a bit different. Mm. People seem to enjoy them, so it's great.
Very much.
Let's dig into it, and good morning to everybody in the comments. Good to see you here. Tim Oliver, Damian Gallagher, Robin Yateman. Oh, hi, Robin.
Hey, Robin.
Yeah, that's my sister. So our first email comes to us from Oliver, who writes, "Hi, we're moving to Lisbon, Portugal. 2 adults, 1 child, and 1 small dog. Typically, my girlfriend will use it to drive around town for work. She's an interior designer. I will use it to go to the supermarket and run errands locally. We don't want to have to charge during the day, just at night. We want to charge it with a normal 230-volt outlet." So this is, yeah, in Portugal, I guess the voltage there is 230 volts. "For weekend trips, I'd like to be able to drive 300 kilometers Friday night. That's about 86 miles. Then find somewhere to charge it on my own on Saturday morning while my girlfriend is getting ready. Then just drive it home on the Sunday. I cannot rely on charging mid-trip or when we will when we'll get in the car. It's just too inconvenient for everyone if the fast charger we've identified is occupied or out of order or leaving us stranded. I was looking at a secondhand Tesla Model 3, which gets hundreds of kilometers of range for like 16,000 euros. My budget is flexible. Oh, and finally, I'd rather a car that doesn't look like an electric car. Why do they all look so stupid? Thanks in advance, Oliver. Well, so basically he wants a normal looking car with at least 200 miles of range, I think. I think 220 is a good buffer, so he'll be able to do his 186 mile trips, in the wintertime without, I think, fear of coming up short. So that was kind of my baseline for that. It was a bit tricky finding cars. I'm not too familiar with buying used cars in Portugal. I have to admit.
No one's going to hold that against you, Dom. I mean,
and the websites I found were less than, they weren't great. So the only thing I really found, that fits his the bill, kind of falls into line with what he wants is a Tesla Model 3, because, well, clearly he thinks a Tesla Model 3 looks like a normal car. And so he said that, so I was thinking, okay, he probably wants a sedan then, like he's very car, because there's no Model Y or no mention of SUVs or anything. But looking around in that price range, there aren't a whole lot of electric sedans out there, really, that with over 200 miles of range. So I did find like this one on a site
in big miles. So pre-refresh and big miles, 2019, 110,000 Ks, which is, which is fine, but still.
That's what, 65,000 miles?
Yeah.
I guess, which is a little bit high. I mean, that's what my car has on it now. It's a 2018. And, maybe this thing, actually at this time in a Tesla Model 3's life, it probably needs some upper control arm adjustments or tightening. It's got a classic squeak happening in those cars, because I have one and it's just started doing the squeak. So that's pretty much, I don't know if you could think, what else is there, Martin, on the European market with a long range that one could find affordably used in Portugal?
I think I agree with you in that Model 3 is probably the best place to start anyway with that, because you've mentioned it already. It'll do up to 550 kilometers of range, depending on which spec you get. You need your 300 kilometers for weekend trips. And I totally agree with you, by the way. So if you're a family and you got a little one, I totally get it. So that negates the argument of DC fast charging, which is let's have smaller, efficient batteries, but then be able to stop wherever you want, have convenient DC fast charging, and have it reliable, etc. The other thing is just you solve the problem on your own and you carry all your energy with you, which is probably where I am in terms of going places that, if I'm anywhere within 200 miles, it's super relaxing if I'm taking the family. And if I'm not, I then think quite hard about, I would stop earlier at a place that I knew had maybe 8 or 10 or 12 chargers, and that were from a brand I liked and knew, like GridServe or Ionity or InstaVolt or Osprey or any of those, compared to, well, I could push it down to 5% state of charge, but then I'm going somewhere that, it might be full or it's a busy station. So when you have a family, it is different to your hardcore road tripping. So Tesla's got the supercharger network. There's more of them. You brought up a 2019 version there, Dom. So they've been around for a very long time. You've got a bigger choice, and you can be more picky on mileage and condition as well. But if you ultimately want cars that don't look like, and that's the irony is that you don't really want to look like you're driving an electric future mobile. Well, Tesla only make electric cars. So if you want to go incognito, driving a Tesla is not the one, but I know what you mean. And so the other thing is that you drive the Korean cars that are built on a multi-platform. So a Hyundai Kona Electric with a 64 kilowatt hour battery, or a Kia e-Niro with the big battery as well. And that is the key, because what you're talking about is AC charging, destination charging, which is all very sensible. I think that, by the way, that's the conversation that no one's having that we need to have, is actually we all get, very interested in new networks like IONO. We all get very heated sometimes at NEVI funding in the US, but actually let's have a conversation about destination charging, because if Oliver, you can go buy a Kia e-Niro or a Kona depending on condition, then it's about efficiency And so Tesla are the most efficient. But the South Koreans, with those multi-platform or sort of multi-powertrain platform cars, really give it a run for the money. Highly, highly efficient. And then that's the key. So can you get to where you want to go? Of course you can with 64 kilowatt hours doing... In the summer when I owned my Kona, I had a Kona for a year, which was the refresh one, big battery. That would regularly read, depending on how I drove it and where I drove it, 5 miles plus per kilowatt hour. Now, I've also had, you know, the original Hyundai Ioniq, 28 kilowatt hours. And so, yeah, you can make that read 6 or 7 miles per kilowatt hour if you drive it around town, because that thing was just witchcraft. And you can't go for that because the battery is too small, even with the refreshed Ioniq, not the 5, the original one. You can't go for that over here because, again, 38.2, 38.4 kilowatt hour battery is still too small for you. But Kona, Niro, doesn't look like you're driving an EV. The ultimate spec one I had on the Kona, it was fully loaded. It had ventilated, heated, and cooled seats. Everything was electric. The rear is a little small for families, which is ultimately why we got rid of ours, ultimately.
The older one,
and actually the newly refreshed, which isn't in your budget, but the new, you know, it's physically longer and all the room went in the rear seats, so they fixed that problem. Do try one out because it could be a deal breaker. Now, if it's you know, if you don't need the huge child seat, then I would really highly recommend a Kona. If you want cars that don't look like an EV. Remember the Polestar 2, because obviously I'm, you know, a Polestar owner these days, so I have to promote the company whenever I can. The Polestar 2, remember that was a Volvo. Like when they unveiled it, with the Volvo XC40. That was destined to be a Volvo before the whole Polestar thing snowballed. That was originally going to be a Volvo sedan. So back in 2016 or 17, maybe whenever. And so that just looked, my car just looks like, it's got a massive bonnet, a petrol car. It was designed to be multi-powertrain before the whole Polestar thing. So the difficulty with that is that you won't get 200 miles of range out of it at highway speed in the winter, because I can't. But there was a single motor version that they then refreshed, but they're too new for your 16K budget. But it does look like a normal car. And so that, I think, and the Scandi design I absolutely adore. So I think that brings you back to a Tesla, personally. Tesla Model 3 remains my best overall choice for you.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a really tough one. I was trying to find an alternative, you know, because it's good that, you know, we should offer a couple choices at least, you know, so. Right. But I'm not sure if the older Kona was, the new Kona is a bit of a weird looking mobile. It's got like the single light across the front, you know, and so I think that might fall into his definition of an odd weird electric car. So, but the older one straight up looks like any other small, you know, compact SUV if you're into that. So, yeah. So let's move on. Our next email comes to us from Ben. He says, "Hi, Battery Bargains crew. I'm looking for a used car for my soon-to-be-driving teenager. Our budget is $6,000, her savings. I found a few 2016 Nissan Leafs S-Trim 24 kilowatt-hour battery for just under $6,000. My question is, do you think these are a good buy, or would she be better off getting a cheap ICE such as a Honda Civic with 150,000 miles on it? Background, I drive a 2020 Kia Niro EV. Wife drives a 2022 Hyundai Ioniq 5. So we are familiar with EVs, but not CHAdeMO. We live in Rhode Island, and my daughter would need to drive 10 to 30 miles on a typical day for school and work. The Leafs I've found on cars.com show one or two health bars missing. Is that normal? How much longer could I expect a battery from a 2016 Nissan Leaf with 90,000 miles and 10 of the 12 health bars to last? I'd hate for her to buy a car with her hard-earned money and find it unusable in a couple of years. Thanks for the advice. Love all the podcasts. Ben." All right. So, that's kind of an interesting letter. But so to start, I would just like to say, no need to worry about CHAdeMO if this car is just driving 10 to 30 miles a day. So CHAdeMO is only for DC fast charging, and that's what the Leaf has for its fast charging port. It's like a Japanese standard that didn't really go too far. It's on the Nissan Leaf. It's on I think the was it on the iMiEV possibly, and it's on the Mitsubishi Outlander plug-in hybrid. Outlander? It's on a Mitsubishi plug-in hybrid that's available in the States. But like I said, it's not as they're out there at like Electrify America stations. Usually there's like one CHAdeMO plug, but you don't need to worry about that because you're only driving 30 to 50 miles a day, and you can just plug into the same J1772 connector that your other cars use, so you can use the same charger for all your cars. It's pretty normal for a Leaf to be missing a bar or two. Usually the batteries of cars this old aren't going to experience like sudden big degradations, so it's possible to say how long a Leaf could last because, you know, parts unrelated to the powertrain can fail or wear just like any car. But there are some very high mileage Leafs out there, and so I think it should last. A Nissan Leaf should last long enough to get her through high school, basically. So that's like I guess three, four years, hopefully three. Let's see. So cars.com lists a number of Nissan Leafs significantly. There's some significantly below $6,000 with fewer than 90,000 miles, but they're a little bit farther away for the most part. I did a search like to find something close to Rhode Island, because if it's you're paying a few thousand dollars for a car, you don't have to pay another $1,000 on top of that to ship it to you, right? It just seems like that equation gets kind of weird down in this part of the price range. So I did see that like 90,000 one that you're talking about, but then I found another one, so like a little bit cheaper, but it's got a lot fewer miles on it. So I thought I'd share that with you as just a potential one to maybe check out. I couldn't see the number of bars left on the screen, but it does look like it's in really decent shape. It's just like a black one. It looks like a little. That might be a dent on the side. I'm not sure if that's just a weird reflection or not. That's worth looking into.
Maybe some panel damage. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, on the down here, it didn't say. Usually accidents or damage, none reported. Clean title. Well, like so personally. So hey, Kyle has Connor, who does the Out of Spec channel and is one of our co-hosts here as well on Fridays, he has a Nissan Leaf with one of these very similar looking dents on the other side. What that means, it gives you a cheap car, even cheaper, basically. And you know, I don't know, I wouldn't get upset over like buying a this would not stop me from buying this car. Maybe it will you or your daughter. I can understand that, but I don't know. It's got, what is it? So it's $5,500, 54,000 miles on it. That's not too bad. Compared to 90,000, it's got, you know, almost half the miles of the other one. And it's a slightly bit older, but yeah, if the battery is good, and it does say, like if you go to the pages, most of these cars.com pages on EVs, they have an EV battery rating good. So you can visit the free battery report on Recurrent. And so it tells you, you know, this one says good, estimated range in 3 years, 62 to 63 miles, estimated range today, 64, 65 miles. So it might lose a couple miles over her high school career, but it seems like a decent pick. Anyway, what do you got to say? I've been talking a lot here, Martin. What do you think?
Bang on. Yeah. So one or two bars gone on a Nissan Leaf, 90,000 miles is fine. You're going to be between 72 and 78% state of health on that. So you'll be about, you know, a 100,000 mile Nissan Leaf is fine. I think it's got loads of life left in it, probably. And so the 24 kilowatt hour battery is probably going to give you between, you know, 50 and 70 miles of charge, depending on the weather and how you drive it, of course, which is plenty for your use case. $6,000 is about £4,500 UK. And there's really is not a lot you can get for that money, but in the US, absolutely. Dom showed you a very, very reasonable looking Nissan Leaf, and don't worry about CHAdeMO in the slightest. The only time I would worry about CHAdeMO is when you come to sell it in 3 or 4 years time. But look, it's a $6,000 vehicle. Maybe it's a $5,500 vehicle. If you amortize that over the time she's going to have it, how much more is it going to go down? Like, what is the depreciation on a car that old that then reaches its third or fourth owner by the time she comes to sell it? People will look at CHAdeMO like you've looked at CHAdeMO and gone, well, is it less useful? Yeah, but use case. So if you never need to DC, and there are CHAdeMO chargers around, but if you never need to DC fast charge it, I've had two Renault Zoes and both had AC charging. Neither of them were the Zoes with a and there are newer Zoes with DC fast charging. Never stopped me doing what I was going to do with that car. It's about use case, isn't it? So do have a look at, well, your old EV was a Spark, right? That's a really fun to drive little car. You could probably get a cheap one of those. Am I right in thinking?
Oh, Spark. Oh, that would be, yeah. I mean, I have, I think they're a lot more rare than the Tesla model, I mean, the Nissan Leaf.
Yeah. But
I mean, I love that. I mean, it's a zippy, it's a fun
really
car.
Really peppy. Maybe compact and city driving.
Depending on the temperament of your daughter. I mean, yeah, some people, you know, are super like zoomy when they first get a car, and the Spark might encourage some of that, I guess. But Mark Schiller points out that Bolt can be had for $9,000, so it's a bit over the budget. But I really kind of think it's worth it, just for a little bit more, you know, lots of range, tons of range. Never had to worry about that. It is slow charging though if you go on a road trip, of course. But you know, the interior is nice. It's fine.
I think this is about use case. This is someone's first vehicle that gets them safely. You know, there are smaller other vehicles. There's a 2012 Mitsubishi IMEV. I would want more metal around my daughter personally. Mm-hmm. Seeing some of the vehicles that you have on your roads that you can't even see over the bonnet or something. Some of these trucks that I see online, I'm like, oh my gosh, that's like a commercial vehicle over here. So I'd want a bit more metal around her than that, or a little Fiat 500e 2013, 2015, little compliance car. Again, about the right price. Pretty small car though. So Nissan Leaf feels a bit chunkier, a bit safer, did well with its NCAP ratings and stuff like that. So I would be fine. You can get Leaf Spy and check out the state of health on the battery, and you'd probably be okay.
That's the other thing about Leafs. They have a huge owner base, so there's a ton of information about anything that could possibly go wrong. There's lots of forums, and you know, it's a very well-known quantity. And I don't know if anybody on the East Coast over there, but I know my friend Alex on the West Coast, you know, fixing Leafs is like a no biggie. That's kind of bread and butter.
Yeah. Benjamin says, perfect high school car in the comments section. It won't be useful too much longer. You won't get too up in arms if there's bumps and scrapes. That's actually the dilemma that we're having at the moment, that we need a family car that we don't get upset about. We've got two young children. That you know, in the winter we live on the beach, and so it's going to get full of sand and mud, and they eat in the car and stuff like that. And so we are currently in that dilemma at the minute. Now, small new vehicles like the Leap, we have a Leap Motor, which is Stellantis and Chinese, is $199 a month with $199 down. And I'm like, well, for £200, there's a new car on the driveway. That's not a lease. That's we have a thing called PCP over here, where you pay monthly and then you pay it off at the end. That's not even a lease price. And so, like that, for me, £200 is in my brain fine. And then you buy it at the end, even if it's wrecked, because then you've got to then have it made good if you give it back. But then the other bit of me, the more frugal bit, says you're absolutely right. In the comments there, Benjamin and Mark, like, why not? There's a couple of cheap Zoes around here. Just go back to a Zoe. Got a massive boot on them. The Leaf's got a huge boot on it. And, you know, it's only ever going to get used. Take them to school, take them to swimming, take them to football, get absolutely trashed, and then clean it every, you know, 6 months. So that's kind of where I am. I'm exactly the same situation as you. Like, we could get a little bit nicer car, but use case. Like, just get something that does a job, really.
Mark Norman suggests, heard you were a Toyota man, Martin.
I am a dedicated Toyota man. Yeah, absolutely. If I were to take off my hoodie, you would see my Toyota tattoos that I have full body Toyota tattoos all over me. But I don't think that the YouTube viewers want to see that. But if you ever see me on holiday in my Speedos, then you'll see I'm covered in Toyota.
I actually have a jacket. I went to a Toyota event, the first kind of preview of the BZ4X, and they gave me they gave me this jacket, which, you know, it's kind of a nice material, and I kind of really like it. It says BZ4X on it, but no one really knows what that is around here, so I wear it all the time. So I am kind of branded Toyota, which is fine. But anyway, let's move on to our last email. It comes from Justin, who says, "Hey guys, need some insight. Was living in Indianapolis for work the past 2 years, and work was paying for my rental cars. I quickly grew attached to EVs once I tried the Kia EV6! All-wheel drive. In my opinion, easily better than the Tesla Model 3 that I had rented, and the Ford Mustang Mach-E. It was so comfortable and so zippy. Now I am living back in Arizona, and I have a 2016 Honda Accord LX with 55,000 miles on it. My current apartments are filled with level 2 chargers, and I am itching to get an EV. Was thinking of selling this for around $15,000 and then buying an EV. Would not like to have any payments. If I must pay $3,000 or $4,000 out of my savings, that would be fine. Was thinking of buying a Chevy Bolt since they are cheap. Just wondering if this is going to be a huge mistake, or any other deals do you think would be good? My fear is if I get the Bolt, I am going to be severely disappointed with the two-wheel drive and is not being as fast as the Kia EV6 all-wheel drive! I know my Honda Accord will run forever with consistent maintenance and oil changes. Please help. Best, Justin." All right. Well, what do you say to that, Martin?
This is where I think the Bolt situation is applicable. 2 or 3, 4 years old, very affordable, very practical, and typically, you know, 18 grand, 20 grand. You can find one in your budget with minimal extra spending after selling your Honda Accord for, you know, 15 grand or whatever. So it is not as fast or as sporty as an EV6 all-wheel drive, but my friend, nothing in your budget is that I can think of. Dom's about to prove me wrong with an aha moment.
His
Dom's Columbo moment. One more thing, but no, I don't think you can get anything as good as an EV6 all-wheel drive in that budget. But look, the Bolt is very zippy, 6-7 seconds or so, isn't it? 0-60, range of 250 miles or so, plus minus. Front wheel drive only, so you can have some fun with that. But like the Hyundai Kona Electric is front wheel drive, and you can. You know, if you're pulling out of a junction, you've got some lock on the wheel, you can definitely make the inside wheel spin up, and that's fun. You've got to be careful with your right foot. You can get a Kona as well. Tons of fun, and a really nice spec as well on that. And again, not all-wheel drive, front-wheel drive, same as the Niro EV. Do you want to have an all-wheel drive vehicle like a Model Y, Model 3, like an EV6, Ioniq 5? You're going to have to pay a bit more. The cheapest of all of those is either going to be an all-wheel drive Model 3 or an all-wheel drive Ioniq 5, because they've been out the longest. But it's probably a good time to sell a vehicle like your Honda Accord. Decent 55K mileage on that. You're going to find a good part, you know, buyer who is ready to give that a good life. And so, you know, you're all set up with level 2 chargers in your apartment. I think it's an ideal time. You know, you're in a great situation. Just don't think you're going to get something as good and quick as the car you're coming out of that your work's been paying for. Now, Dom, you can prove me wrong.
Well, I'm not so much wrong. It's pretty good. Excuse me, I had to cough. I just think he's going to be underwhelmed by the Bolt. I mean, it's got great acceleration, but it's really it's okay, but it's not like, so the EV6 all-wheel drive does 0-60 in 5.1 seconds, which is, you know, respectable. That's what the rear-wheel drive Model 3 that I have does. But if you got the smaller battery LFP Model 3, if that's what he rented, then that would have been slower. So maybe that's why he feels like the Model 3 is so much slower, because it should be, it should be about the same, really. And then if you go for dual motor Tesla Model 3, that's going to be significantly quicker than the EV6 all-wheel drive even. So that's a 4-second 0-60 in a dual motor Tesla Model 3. Or if you went to Polestar 2, that's a 4.1-second, you know, 0-60, which is, you know, right up there, better than the Kia EV6. So I did a look around. So this all comes down to, you know, your tolerance for spending a little bit out of your budget and just a little, not much. So let's pull this up. So Polestar 2, 42,000 miles on it. That's a pretty decent amount of miles, but less than your Honda. But it's a little bit more. So it's, I don't know, to me, in my head, I'm thinking this is like an even trade across from your Honda, except that I think a 2022 Polestar 2 is a whole lot, a hell of a lot nicer than a 2015 Honda Accord. I mean, Honda Accords are great.
You're not kidding. So you might not, I don't know what, I can't see the specs on screen. You might not have a plus pack or a pilot pack on that. So you might lose some of the niceties that is on the Polestars when reading as I'm talking and scrolling down. But it's got the basic functionality, the mechanical engineering of the car is the all-wheel drive version. So it's blooming quick. And it's got all the Google nice lists and stuff. So even if you haven't got all the extra Plus and Pilot goodies, and I can't tell from this listing on it, then I don't think you're missing out on a huge amount. It's still fundamentally, mechanically engineered as a brilliant little Volvo.
Right. It's, yeah, and being a lot newer than the Honda, it just makes a lot of sense. And plus, it'll be cheaper to operate, own and operate, basically, too, or it ought to be.
And it keeps getting better with over-the-air updates. And the app, it keeps getting better as well. So all the things that you want to do in a half-decent EV app, you know, or in setting the amperage of the charge and, certain schedules to leave, be fully charged by a certain time.
It's got a little
precondition.
Frunk.
Yeah, it's all in there. So I just keep the charging cables up the front on mine because it's a manual bonnet release.
Right.
And again, it's really funny because whenever I open the bonnet, it's a reminder that the actual latch is over here, way over on the right hand side. If you look at Volvos on the grill, Volvo have a line going from the bottom corner through the Volvo emblem in the middle of the grill all the way to the top of there. And the bonnet release latch on a Volvo is always at the top of the line. So if you want to know where the release latch on a Volvo is, you look at the line on the logo, and it's at the end of it. And of course, because the Polestar was meant to be a Volvo, it's exactly where it is. And so it makes no sense on a Polestar logo. But this is a great little vehicle that you found. We're at 20 grand. That's what, 17,000 pounds sterling?
Yeah, something Holy like that, mode. Yeah. But I mean, it's 16? Got 42,500 miles on it. So it's not exactly a spring chicken. But it's not bad by any stretch. I think
it's nice.
Yeah, definitely better than what was 150,000 miles on this Honda Accord. No, 55,000. Yeah,
55. Okay. Yeah, 55.
It was 150,000 on the other choice for the Honda Civic in the other letter. So there's also, you could go also Tesla Model 3 for like close to the same money. I mean, depending on what you think of those, it's also, you know, around the same quickness as that Polestar. It was close to the same mileage, and this one's a bit cheaper, actually. So you might be able to find something a bit cheaper with that kind of upper 40,000 mile range, depending on what's going on at any given moment in the market. But if your heart is set on a Kia EV6, okay, you can just like get a Kia EV6 as well, but you just have to deal with it having a few miles on it. So I found this one, 53,796 miles. It's a wind. I believe that's a relatively lightly specced. So, you know, it doesn't maybe have. Oh, this is a rear-wheel drive. Ah, sorry. Yeah, there's the problem. For some reason, I thought I weeded out the rear-wheel drives, but I believe there might have been one or two all-wheel drives in this, like, just below 20,000, but this was the lowest mileage one. So you could go EV6, but it's going to have more miles on it, and you're going to pay probably a little bit more, at least for right now. You know, if you buy in 6 months, who knows what will happen. But then again, right now, cars are eligible for a $4,000 federal used tax credit. But that could go away at any moment. It exists right now, but I don't even know how to keep track of all this, except I'm using the Tesla website. It's the Tesla website still says that there's a $7,500 federal tax incentive. I guess they're probably the best place to know since they own the federal government now. And so, that was a joke.
Hang on. What? Hang on. Honestly, I was doing some reading about this last night to try and educate myself on it. And I got tied up in so many knots and legal challenges. And so the state saying, well, if it goes away at a federal level, some of the states will put their own state funding in to match right. it. And you know, in the meantime, there's lots of legal challenges of people saying it requires an act of Congress. It's too deeply integrated into the IRA. And you think, man, it is like it's a complete nest of stuff to try and get your head around. So I'd say whilst it's still here, fill your boots.
Yeah. Strike while the iron is hot. And it's hot right now, but tomorrow... It's really kind of hard to say right now. We've been in flux, politically, but just structurally, our government structure has, been in real big flux the last 2 weeks. And so it's really hard to say what's going on. But my whole point of that was, I'm not really sure what my point was, except
if you are in a position to, it's not as if it's going to go up. You know, if you're speculating, right. it's not as if you're going to get more money. So it's only going to decline or go, or at least the lease loophole will be closed, or they'll do something without an act of Congress or whatever can be done, or maybe these legal challenges will just put everything into stasis. And just it'll just block it all up, which I think is probably what sounds like the next 4 years of just people complaining and then, trying to hold things up through the courts. And so, I think that it's a good time now if you can, if they've got the funds in place and you know you're going to do it sometime. Don't spend money you haven't got, but we would probably recommend that you purchase it sooner rather than later.
Mm-hmm. So Brendan just brings up a fun thing we can hit before I get out of here. If you're adventurous, all the Fisker Oceans are now under $20,000, LOL. So Fisker Ocean is bankrupt. There's not really any official support for these vehicles, but there are a ton of them online, and they're so cheap. They're getting very cheap now. I was looking at them last night, like 300 miles, 400 miles. There's like basically no miles on these things, and they're brand new, and at the prices that they're selling for, they're really awesome. For as $45,000-$50,000, there's some things I didn't like. I test drove one for quite a bit, but great power, great space, drives fine. It's big, it's a large thing, but don't buy one if you can't afford to have it turn into a brick that you can't drive anymore. Basically,
what's crazy
is risky.
Like, they made right-hand drive versions of them, which, Lucid still haven't come out of the US, Rivian still haven't come out of the US, and yet there's Fisker making right-hand drive versions for the UK. And what's crazy is there's two around here. I see a blue one in Aldi car park, and my neighbor's got a red one. It's crazy that, and they look, as Dom says, like when I pass it and I'm cycling my little boy to school, and we go down the end of the road and we pass his red one, like it's a really well designed vehicle. And as to Brendan's point of they're all under 20 grand there, they're under 20 grand here. And that's what I'd understand about the Fisker Ocean is there has to be an inherent value in scrappage of 113 kilowatt hours of brand new battery. At the very least, like, what's the market value of that? And it seems, plus all of the bits that are on the car. Now, you can't obviously use, the specific bits on another vehicle, but it does seem like such a wild destruction of value in the Fisker Oceans that they must be worth more than that. Even if you just took the battery out and strapped it to the grid and did energy trading with it. I don't know. So...
Yeah,
man.
Yeah, I mean, that's something that might end up happening to a lot of these Fiskers. The people always start taking the batteries out of them, using for stationary storage, or maybe converting their pickup trucks into classic cars into electric vehicles. There's that's a lot of battery. I mean, you can do a nice project with that, or back up your house for days, probably. I guess 4 or 5 days with like full load. Anyway. We could go on, but we all have work to do and jobs to go to now, or some of us do.
Speak for yourself.
All right. That brings us to the end of our show. Thank you very much for joining us. Great to have you all here in the comments with us today. And Martin's doing his hand thing. I'm not even sure how to describe that.
I'm just delaying it. When this is over, I have to go change a nappy. So I'm just delaying it. So I'm happy to hang out here for 7 or 8 hours with you guys. Just delay the inevitable.
So if you're looking for your own bespoke EV recommendation, drop us a line at Battery Bargains at batteriesincludedpodcast.com. If you have any questions or comments, please leave them below or get in touch with us on the social media platform of your choice. We're on all of them, except for maybe, no, we're on all of them. Click subscribe. I was going to mention one, but I can't even remember the name of it. It's like so underused right now. Click subscribe. Tap that bell icon for notifications, and we'll see you all again next time. Ciao.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.